it comes to faith, I think a lot of us, we want formulas. We want straightforward kind of answers. When it comes to faith, we want the written in the sky, in the clouds kind of answers, the assurities, I think. But if we had those things, then it wouldn't require any faith. Would you agree with that? And a lot of times we would say, you know what? I need to see some proof. I need to see that Jesus is real. I need to see that His kingdom is real. And so, a lot of people would say these kinds of things to Jesus, and they would have these straightforward questions. But then Jesus wouldn't necessarily give straightforward answers. And sometimes He would say, well, it's like this, and then He would proceed to tell a story. And then in those stories, we learn a lot of different things, and that's what we're going to talk about today and the next several weeks. We're going to talk about stories that change the world. We're going to talk about the parables of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to start off by looking at a parable that is called the parable of the great banquet, or the parable of the great supper, the great feast. Now, contrary to what many of you believe right now, I do still love food. And one thing that I like to do is I like to go to restaurants, and particularly, I like to go out of town to restaurants. And when I do, I go to places that I can't get here in Columbus. Is anybody with me on that? Whenever you visit, you want to eat some place that you can't get at home. And so this morning, here's what I want you to do. I want everybody all across the room today to actively participate with me. I want you to think about your favorite meal of all time. That's probably pretty hard for some of us, right? Think of your favorite meal of all time, or maybe think about your favorite restaurant. If you can't narrow it down to just one meal, think about your favorite restaurant of all time. Over the past few days, I've been thinking about that some, and I want to share one of my favorite stories of a meal that I had one time. And I can't remember if I've shared this with you or not. I think I have with some of you, but I'm not sure if I've shared it in the service or not. But Stacy and the boys and I were new here to the church, and the boys were pretty young, and we were invited over to Maxine Taggart's house to celebrate John Markland's birthday. John and Judy are laughing already because they know where this story is going. We were really looking forward to going to dinner at Maxine's house because we knew that she was one of the more seasoned ladies in the church, and more seasoned ladies in the church can cook. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. All right. And so she was one of these church ladies that I knew that she was going to be able to cook. And so we show up at Maxine's house and we visit for a little while, and then Maxine calls us to the table. And I'm sitting at the table, and I'm looking at the food on the table, and it all looked really, really good, except for the main dish, which was meatloaf. And the meatloaf was as pink as a flamingo. I mean, it was just, and I'm looking at that meatloaf, and I'm thinking, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. The first thing that came to my mind was, here's this old lady in the church that's too poor to have the preacher really over for dinner, and she's living on cat food. And so she's made this cat food loaf. That's what's going through my mind. So it's either cat food loaf or it is extremely undercooked meatloaf. Either way, I'm not touching it. And so the wheels are just spinning in my head, and I have my salad and I have my sides, and I'm not touching the cat food loaf, you know. And then, by the grace of God, John Markland speaks up and said, "Oh, Maxine, I just love your ham loaf. It's one of my favorites." And I went, ding, ding, ding. And about that time, Maxine says, "Ron, you're going to have some ham loaf?" And I said, "Don't mind if I do." You know, I was pretty excited. To this day, that is one of my all-time favorite meals. Now, I don't know if it's because the ham loaf was just superior, although it was very good. I don't know if it was because of that or because it wasn't cat food or really undercooked hamburger. I'm not really sure why I loved it so much. Maybe it was because I was with the company that I was with, but it was great. I was very, very thankful that it wasn't cat food. But anyway, in our parable today, we hear a warning. I think this is what this is about. Jesus kind of gives us a warning. And he says, I think what's happening is a lot of people are settling in this life, and they don't have to settle. And I think we as Christians, we settle sometimes. We settle for an average life instead of the full life that Jesus wants us to have. And so this parable today teaches us that not only when we die are we going to have the opportunity to be a part of this great banquet in heaven, but there's going to be a lot of awesome things thrown in the kingdom of God down here as well. And that this life is more satisfying and more joyful than even our favorite meal that we can have down here. Our divine creator is offering us a feast, but I think some of us really don't understand how good the invitation is. And so we either ignore it or we just completely reject it. So some questions for you as we start. First one is this. Would you say that your life is full? Just answer that in your own mind. Would you say that your life is full? Would you say that your life is satisfying? Have you ever wondered if maybe there's something better than what you're experiencing right now? Or maybe something that would make your life more complete than it is right now. And I think this is why it's so important for us to pay close attention to this parable today, because Jesus is inviting us to a full life now. It's not just, hey, give your life to me and live by these rigid rules and regulations and put up with all of the junk in life. And then one day, whenever you pass away, you're going to go to heaven and everything's going to be wonderful and you're going to have delight and you're going to have joy and it's just going to be awesome. Well, I think this parable is teaching us that you can have not all of them, but a lot of wonderful things in this life. You're being invited to the kingdom of God now. And whether you're a teenager, whether you're a senior adult, whatever your profession might be, whether you're a parent, or even if you're here today and you're a non-Christian, I believe that this parable has the potential to reveal some great truth for you today. And so here's the deal. There's a feast. We're all invited to it, but the response is up to you. That's what this parable is teaching us. So let's jump into this together. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus is talking. And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Now, one thing to point out in this parable that I think is important that sometimes we skim past. In the ancient world, being invited to a feast or being invited to a banquet was a huge deal. It was a big honor. It was an incredible privilege. Today, we have all of these meals and food that's available to us. We have these magical devices called our phones where we can push a button and we can have food delivered to our house instantly, or we can run out to Kroger, or we can run out to Walmart, and we can shop, and we can get meat, and we can get groceries anytime we want. We can get the produce that we want or need anytime we want. In the ancient world, the people would have been amazed by this. It would have been an amazing invitation, because a banquet or a feast, a big meal, a big spread like this didn't happen every single day in people's lives. They didn't have food in abundance like we do. And so to be invited to this banquet or to be invited to this feast, what a privilege. Let's keep going here in verse 18. "But they all alike began to make excuses." So think about this for a moment. Here's this incredible invitation to this amazing banquet, to this amazing feast, and they all start making excuses why they can't go. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." And the servant came back and reported this to his master. And so as we read this, we see that there's three examples here of people who have been invited to this incredible feast. Such a privilege to be invited to the feast, but they all turn down the invitation because of the excuses that is going on in their lives. And it's interesting that as we read these, you read these excuses, look through them. They're not incredibly absurd excuses, are they? I mean, really, they're legitimate excuses. They're not immoral. They're people that are just busy with their everyday lives. They're people who have these normal, everyday circumstances. They're people like you and me. They're busy in their day-to-day life. And so they start giving these excuses why they can't come. But when you ask somebody how they're doing, when you see somebody that you haven't seen for a while, and you walk up to them, you start talking, say, hey, how you doing? What's one of the first things that they say? Well, I'm keeping busy. I'm busy. I'm good, but life's real busy. It's crazy. It's hectic. We live in a world where our calendars are just so full of meetings and birthday parties and homework and basketball practice and gymnastics practice and dinners and errands and hobbies. And then we have all of our other things going on in life where we got to keep up with all of our social media accounts and all of our Amazon purchases and all of those different things. And we have all of our precious shows that we have to watch, and we got to have those shows. And it's fair to say, I think, that in this moment in history, we have more options available to us to do stuff than in any other time in history. Would you agree with me on that? And I think it's fair to say that these things aren't bad things necessarily. You know, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But we learn in the parable that these things were keeping people from going to the feast that Jesus is, or the king is inviting them to, which represents Jesus. And they're saying, we've got better things to do. We know we have this opportunity to have this amazing feast, but King, Lord Jesus, we've got better things to do. These things matter more to me. In the book Essentialism, Greg McKeown talks about the way most of us approach our values, the way most of us approach our priorities in life. We fill our schedules, we fill our time with things. Again, they're not necessarily bad, but we give everything the same priority. You ever notice that? Anybody with me on that? Anybody else do that? Anybody else in here really bad? Anybody like me and Kendall really bad at telling people no? And then we treat everything with the same type of priority, right? We do that. Not necessarily bad, but we say yes to everything. And so because we're saying yes to everything, we don't prioritize anything. And so our energy, based on this picture here, you can see, we're kind of here in the middle, and we're getting asked to do all of these different things, and we're getting pulled in all of these different directions, and all of our energy is spread out over all of these different things. If we're not intentional and we're not purposeful with our lives, we're going to try to do it all, and what's going to happen to us? We're going to burn out pretty quickly, right? Well, the alternative to that would be this next drawing that John's going to put up for us. McKeown would call disciplined pursuit of less. Now, this isn't as big a picture, but basically you see our energy in the circle here. And the idea is this: what do I value the most? What do I care about the most? What do I treasure more than anything else? What do I want my life to be about? I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to expend my energy for this great thing, and I'm going to be disciplined about this one thing that Jesus has called me to, and I'm going to say no to even some things that are probably pretty good in order to follow the thing that is the best. I'm going to say no to some good things so that I can follow the best things. Now, this is countercultural because our culture teaches us that we need to be striving for more. Do everything that we can do. Get more, obtain more, be more. But what McKeown is saying, and I think he's right, and I think it's what Jesus teaches, we need to be striving for less things, but striving after the right thing. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things will be added as well. He's talking about our values. He's talking about our priorities. He's talking about we need to value the kingdom more than anything else. And all of these other things, if we value the kingdom more than anything else, all these other things that we stay up at night worrying about, they're going to take care of themselves. I don't know if any of you are like me or not. I'm going to guess that some of you are, but I tend to do this backward. I have a tendency at times to seek all of these other things, and then I hope that somehow God works it into His kingdom plan and it all fits together. Is anybody with me on that? Has anybody ever been guilty of that? You know? Go after this, go after that, go after that, and then just hope that it kind of fits into the scope of what God's doing in my life instead of pursuing the kingdom and let Him bring some of these other things into my life. Well, here's what I think the first takeaway from this parable is. If your life is full of other priorities, you will miss the feast. Let me say that again and let that sink in. If your life is full of other priorities, you will miss the feast. Those with full schedules, those who seek things equally, are going to miss the feast because they don't need the feast. Right? They're already full of other things. They're filling up their time and they're allowing these other things to satisfy, which they really, truly don't ever satisfy. Only Jesus can. But some people think they're being satisfied because they're seeking after these things. And Jesus is saying, what do you value the most? If you look at your schedule, if you look at your calendar, you take out your iPhone, whatever the case may be, you start scrolling through what you've got in your calendar. You look at your checkbook register. What would your priorities say about you? Would anybody even be able to tell that you have certain priorities over others? Or would it just be, well, here's one thing, and here's another thing, and here's another thing, here's a different thing, here's something else, and you're spread out all of these, all over these different things. If your life is full, is like this, then I think that we're in danger of missing the feast. What do you say yes to? What do you say no to? What do you invest in? Those who are full of other priorities are going to miss the feast. Back to our parable, verse 21. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So the people who received the initial invitations to the banquet, these are the qualified people, the dignified people, the winners. They're the people who have got their act all together. They are the it people. And they turn it down. Why is it that they turned it down? Because they didn't need the feast. Or they weren't hungry. Or they weren't desperate. These were the people that were wealthy. They were educated. They were self-sufficient. They were independent. They were capable visionaries. These are people who were self-assured. These are people who are satisfied in life. And maybe when you look at this list of people, you're thinking, wait a minute. I don't know if I like that or not because I kind of put myself in that group of people. Right? Most of us think we pretty much have our act together most of the time. And if that's you today, then guess what? You're getting the point of this parable. Jesus is saying you and I have got a problem. We live in America and not all of us, but most of us are seemingly content. We have just about everything that we need, education, jobs, titles, cars, money, all these different things. We have technology, we have convenience. There's an app for anything we need. I recently found out, I did a search of some crazy apps that are out there this week. I don't recommend that. And so I found one that just kind of blew me away that was an app where you can click on the app and you can enter your address, email address, and all that sort of stuff, and someone will contact you about coming to your house to clean dog waste out of your yard for you. It exists, okay? I have so many questions about that. That is just, I don't understand, okay? But we have all we need. You can sit in your living room with your feet up in your recliner, you can push an app, and someone will clean the dog poo out of your backyard. That's crazy. We have all we need. And Jesus says, you know what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's not that the rich cannot enter the kingdom of God. He just says it's more difficult because we get sidetracked by all of these things, and we tend to hold on to treasures and possessions and achievements and all of these things that we think are going to give us worth. In our last series, we talked about how those things don't identify us. Our relationship with Jesus is what identifies us. It's not who we are or what we have or what we look like. Since Stacy and I started eating healthier, we've been eating a lot more eggs, okay? We like eggs, okay? Eggs are awesome. It's one of our late night snacks. I didn't know I liked eggs so much until we started eating. And we will, you know, it might be 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm a little bit hungry. Yeah, low in calorie, high in protein. Yeah, give me an egg. You know, it's good. And so we'll fry an egg, or we'll have hard-boiled eggs, or we'll scramble eggs. Any way that we can have eggs. And now that we've gotten healthier, our refrigerator always has eggs. I haven't told Stacy this yet, but I'm thinking about getting some chickens. I'm sure my neighbors are gonna. I'm gonna love that. But we've been eating all of these eggs, and we're getting healthier, and that's great. But the key to this in holding an egg is you can't hold it. You kind of hold it loosely. You can't hold it too tight, because if you squeeze it too hard, you know, what's going to happen? If you grip it too hard, you're going to have problems. You're going to have a mess. And I think that the key here, it's the same with our possessions and our achievements. Those things aren't inherently bad, but we need to hold on to those things loosely. And we need to remember that these things that God has blessed us with are not ours. These things that God has given us is not the source of our joy, not the source of our fulfillment, not the source of our peace. It's hard for people with no needs, or for people who have a lot of needs, it's not hard for them to get into the kingdom, but people who don't have very many needs, it's difficult for them because they grip desperately to the treasures that they have. This is my career. I worked for it. I earned this. This is my money. This is my car. This is my status. This is all mine, and I can't let it go. Can you hand me that towel right there, please? Will that clean up? Do we need to get that up in a hurry? I didn't think it would do that hard. I mean, I didn't plan on it flying there. Is Bill here today? Mike? I planned to crack it, but I didn't plan to crack it like that. Anyway, here's the point. If we grip onto these things too tight, we're going to have a mess on our hands. If we go after all of these things that the world is throwing at us, if we allow Satan to get in and cause us to or entice us to go after things that we don't need, we're gonna have a mess on our hands. Treasures, possessions, they're not intended to be gripped tightly. They're not intended to be hoarded. They're not intended to be loved. In fact, when we read the early church, what did they do? They sold their possessions just to help people who had needs. Here's the second thing. If your life is full of self and status and stuff, you're going to miss the feast. Okay? If you have all of these things, then you're going to miss the feast. You're not letting go to bring that fulfillment into your life. And we need to surrender these things over to the Lord and understand that they're all His. They're not ours anyway. Listen to this. Then the owner of the house became angry, ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And so now we see, since the qualified people turned down the invitation is now going to the unqualified, the undignified, the poor, the lame, the ones who society says doesn't belong. And maybe you're listening this morning, and maybe that's you. Maybe you feel like you don't belong. No. I know I've told this story before, but it illustrates the point. Years ago, I was asked to sing God Bless the USA at the Lincoln Day dinner here in Columbus, and I graciously accepted. I was new in town. I thought it'd be a great opportunity for me to get out into the public, get to know some people, get my name out there a little bit, make some connections with folks in town. And so they seated me at a table with Senator Todd Young and Representative Luke Messer and Speaker of the House Brian Bosma. I was in some tall clover. You know, I really thought I was beginning to think, this is pretty cool. I'm a big deal. And then the food was served, and I picked up the dinner roll to eat it, only to discover that it wasn't a dinner roll at all. It was twice-baked mashed potatoes. But it looked like a dinner roll. I mean, it's this little round thing, and it was brown on top, and I'd even hit it with my fork, and it was kind of hard, like, okay, that's a roll. And I pick it up, and I'm eating mashed potatoes with my hands in front of the Speaker of the House, a senator, and a representative of the United States government. Brian Bosma was pretty cool, though. He noticed what I did, and he said, don't worry about it. I won't tell anybody. I almost did the same thing. So I appreciated that from him. Made me feel better, but for some reason, I don't know why, I haven't been invited back to the Lincoln Day dinner. But the kind of people that Jesus seems pleased to invite to his feast are those who understand they have a need. And we all have a need, folks. Every single one of us. And if you feel like you don't belong, or you don't have it all together, you're hungry and you're needy, this is good news for you, because here's the last takeaway from our parable very quickly. It's only the empty who can experience the fullness of the feast. Those who are aware of their need would never turn down the invitation to a feast, right? When you get invited and you're hungry and you're starving and you're invited to a feast, you're going to go. And Jesus is saying, listen, you have a need in your life. You need to be saved. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized into Him. You have a need. You say, well, you know what? No, you don't understand what I've done in my life. You don't understand. I don't have my act all together, and I'm messed up, and I've done this, and I might do this. Wayne Smith put it this way, the church is a hospital for the sick, not a hotel for the saints. We're all in need. We're all sick. We're all in need, deep need, for God's kingdom. Are you hungry? Are you desperate for His feast? Or are you content to rely on your own goodness and the things that you have in your life and what you've obtained? I hope by now that you've thought of what your favorite meal is. Or maybe what some of your favorite meals are. I've been thinking about what makes a meal special. And I do believe it was the company that we were with that night at Maxine's house. And actually, the food was really good. That's another thing that makes it good. You know, that's what makes a meal great. You walk away, you're satisfied. It tastes great. You know? And then I also think that sometimes what makes a meal great is some kind of special moment or some kind of experience or an adventure or something like that. Those are the things that makes meals so special and memorable, I think. I think the kingdom of God is like your favorite meal. It's filling, it's satisfying, it tastes good, and it's better, much better, when you experience it with people that you care about and you love. And you're in their company. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus Himself said, I've come that you may have life to the full. That's what the feast is. It's not just something that's going to happen to us when we die. It's something that you can experience here now. Here's the deal. And as our worship team comes, the invitation to the feast is all around us every day. And the deal is this. We have to surrender. We have to surrender our kingdom to His control. We have to surrender our individual kingdoms that we think we have and give control over to Jesus. And that's not easy to do. That surrender part is hard. But Jesus teaches us that that's what we need to do to be a part of His kingdom. Get off the throne ourselves and give Him complete control. Maybe some of you want to do that today. Maybe some of you have never repented of your sins. You've never been baptized into Him. Maybe you've already done that, but you're just kind of living for yourself. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and maybe you need to repent of some things that are in your life. Maybe it's a first-time decision to surrender your life to Jesus. Whatever it is, we encourage you to come. Maybe you just need prayer this morning. We encourage you to come during this song. Let's pray. Father,